Yeah, I sort of see it as the story of three people who come to Chicago seeking a better life. So the first is Liba, who's a Polish Jewish immigrant whose family emigrates to the United States, landing in Chicago. And she's really having a hard time fitting in until she takes a job working for the legendary Chess Records. And there she meets and falls in love with a bluesman, Red Dupree, who's from the Mississippi Delta. He comes to Chicago seeking his fame and fortune as a musician. And without giving too much away, he meets with a tragedy that sets him on a different path. And then we have the real life Leonard Chess, who, along with his brother, forms this record label without any musical abilities and really puts blues on the map.
How did you become attracted to using Chess Records as sort of the backdrop to Windy City Blues?
You know, it's interesting. I up till now, I had written three other historical novels set in Chicago, and my editor and I were talking, and we knew we wanted to do one more Chicago book. And she said, "Well, what about the blues?" And I really did not know that much about it, and I started doing some research, and like right away, I knew it had to be chess, because that's a center of Chicago blues and blues throughout the world. You know, once I got into it, into the research and started listening to the music, I just fell in love with it.
Well, you used the young Jewish girl, Liba Grosky. She is sort of the center of the story. I know Red Dupree is a huge part of it, and Leonard Chess, like you mentioned as well, but I read this book through Liba's eyes.
Yeah, I say she has the bulk of the real estate. You know, initially, I started writing the book just from her point of view and got about 200 pages in before I realized I was getting the Forrest Gump syndrome, you know, where she was in all these scenes that she really had no place being in. And that's when I realized that in order to really tell the story, I needed Red Dupree to be a character's point of view, and I also needed Leonard Chess.
Did you have to go back and rewrite then?
Oh yeah, I trashed 200 pages.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh my
Nope.
goodness. Well, this whole book is so descriptive from the very first page when you're describing that junkyard. I mean, I felt I was right there on that very first page in that junkyard.
You know, I think I'm a very visual person, and I like to write scene to scene so that you can actually see it, feel it, smell it. You know, I like to bring in all the senses so that the reader feels like they're really there with the characters as things are unfolding.
How did you get to describe those scenes from way back in the day, 40s, 50s, and 1960s?
You know, I was very fortunate that I spent a great deal of time with members of the Chess family, as well as Willie Dixon's grandson. And they kind of filled in a lot of the blanks for me, you know, in terms of what the club scenes were like or things that I was never going to get from reading another. So much has been written about chess, but I wasn't going to find that stuff in those books. And I think that really helped to lend some authenticity.
Well, you said earlier that you really didn't understand Chicago blues right away, but once you dug into it, it was just fascinating to you. What was it that grabbed you?
You know, I think that music, whether you're into blues or jazz or rock or whatever, the thing about music is it gives so much and it asks nothing in return other than you open your ears. It does the rest. And I can't think of another art form that really does that. You know, a good song comes on and it changes your mood, it changes the feel of a room, the atmosphere. And I was so taken by the artists, their struggles, how the music paralleled society and what was happening. And it just really got under my skin, and I'll never hear music the same way again.
Well, let's talk about Leonard Chess. He and his brother Phil created Chess Records out of Aristocrat, and a lot of people know the story, but you really showed how his work ethic was almost unhealthy. Actually, it was unhealthy.
Oh, yeah.
But you showed a couple of things. One, he was trying to impress a lover that had spurned him years ago in, creating this dynasty. And you also showed how he ignored his family almost tragically.
Yeah.
The question I want to ask you, though, is would Chess Records, though, have become the giant it was if Leonard hadn't worked so hard?
You know, I think that the magic of chess was Leonard and Phil. they both were, they were such very different personalities. I mean, you described Leonard was very driven. He was a workaholic. And, you know, his motivation for acquiring the kind of wealth and success that he did came absolutely from a girl that he wanted to marry. And her father said, you know, he'll never amount to anything. And that was all Leonard needed. Whereas Phil was very gentle. He sort of smoothed everything out after Leonard came through and just tore everything up. But yeah, I think that, you know, Leonard was determined. He broke new ground. He literally was selling records out of the trunk of his car, not only on the south side of Chicago, but down in the deep south. You know, he was mining a market that just had not been developed at all.
You bring race into it. Race is a central part of this story as well. And you talk about from Leba and Red's romance and how what they had to deal with back then to, you know, you moved it into the, even the civil rights movement where they were on the freedom rides down south and dealing with the different, you know, NAACP, you know, and different groups in Chicago as well. Did you want to tell the story of race as well, or did that just kind of evolve from what you were writing?
That just happened. Okay. You know, I have, you know, a white Jewish girl falls in love with a black blues musician. And, you know, in segregated Chicago, they just, there was, it was obvious to me that they were going to, I didn't know they were going to fall in love, but when they did, it was pretty obvious that, you know, they're going to stand up for their own relationship as well as just discrimination across the board. And also, Leonard and Phil Chess were incredibly sympathetic to Black America at that time. You know, here they were Polish Jewish immigrants. They came up against anti-Semitism, discrimination. The brothers easily gave as much money to the NAACP as they did the United Jewish Appeal. So they were, I think that, you know, the civil rights movement and the music were so interconnected. And it seemed like once I got into the research, and especially I went down south and did research there, you couldn't separate the two.
You know, I want to ask you if anything really surprised you as you were writing the book, but what struck me is you're writing about race, and we're still dealing with race today.
Yeah, because, you know, when I started, we've always dealt with issues of racism, anti-Semitism, you know, hate crimes, all that. But it seemed like from the time that I started this book till the time we approached publication, sadly, those issues had really intensified. And even though this is a historical novel, the themes in this book are very timely for today's climate.